It's October 17, here in the punk world. Mohawks, leathers, PBR, it makes a punk hurl. We might solve a mystery, or screw up history. Punk News
Podcast,
bringing you the news every day. Punk News
Podcast,
why don't you go tune in to some punk news
podcast?
Cook a good crust punk,
watch behind you,
he wants some change,
and a beer too.
What to do but tune in to some punk news. Punk News, this is Features Editor John Gentile, and we are ready for another kick-ass episode of the Punk News Podcast. We got a pretty cool episode today. This episode is what I'm calling the reader/listener song submitted issue. What happens is we've got an email address that's podcast@punknews.org, and also I'm johng@punknews.org. And if you ever have a song that you want us to play on the podcast, you can just shoot us an email with your band's song. It has to be your band, and we'll play it on the podcast. So we've got some cool songs this week. We've got a song from a band called Jabber. We've got a song from the Plan B Rejects, and we also have a song from a band called The Ill Motion, and they're all pretty cool bands, so we'll be playing them pretty soon. But also with me is the spectacular, is the dazzling, is the shiny news editor, Brittany Strummer. Brittany, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, how are you?
You're a news editor, right?
Yes.
Tell me, Brittany, recently you've got a Tegan and Sarah style haircut. How is that working out for you?
It's working out okay. My hair's at a really awkward stage from when I shaved it, and I'm trying to grow it out, and it's the most frustrating process ever.
Is it in a Canadian mullet right now? Because honestly, the Tegan and Sarah girls, well, the Tegan and Sarah girls, Tegan and Sarah, they make the mullet work. I gotta say, I do not hate the Tegan and Sarah mullet.
It does look fancy.
I'm a little scared it's a mullet, and I put it in pigtails, so you can't tell it's a mullet.
And speaking of people without mullets, we are also here with, I guess, interviewer Chris Barrett. Chris, how are you doing?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Yeah. Now tell me, Chris, you know, more and more I'm seeing dudes with, like, the modern punk mullet, which is kind of like a variation of, like, the mid-80s crust punk mullet. I mean, what's your opinion of the modern punk rock mullet?
I mean, it's interesting. You know, I mean, for me, I don't know. I can't grow my hair into fancy mullets. I can kind of just grow it into an afro, and that's about it.
You grew your hair into an afro?
I did. I did at one point in high school. I had an afro, afro dude with punk rock. Yeah,
dude, you should get an afro. Afros rule. That's like the second best hair after dreadlocks.
You know, I mean, if I could do it again, I could, but I'm kind of losing it now, so it won't quite grow the same. So if anyone has any special remedies, berry goji juice that I could put in my hair, help it grow all back, I'm down. I'm all ears.
Now with these modern mulleted crust punk guys, do you think they actually go and ask for a mullet? Or if you said to them, why do you have a mullet? Do you think they would say, I've got a mullet because I want a mullet or I think it looks cool? Or would they deny that it is indeed a mullet? Because there's no question, I see a lot of mullets out there that if you saw, like, if it would fit in at an Iron Maiden concert. So do you think these guys would say, yeah, I've got a mullet? Or were they like, what are you talking about? I just have my hair long. Or it's my self-expression. It's not a mullet.
I mean, if they're coherent enough to give you an answer, I applaud them in the first place. I guess, I don't know. I mean, sometimes you know when you feel like there's a hair fad that just is kind of an accident, that's a few people had like bad haircuts and it turns into, oh, wow, it looks awesome. And it's like, well, give that a shot too. And it kind of expands. I kind of feel like it's like that. So I think, I don't know, will they take ownership of it? I think it depends how crusty they are, maybe. You know what I mean?
Well, more crusty would say, yeah, I do have a mullet. Or more crusty would say, no, I don't have a mullet.
I think more crusty would probably say, I don't have a mullet. And those who are trying, I'll probably say, yeah, it's a mullet. Yeah.
And what's interesting, not to draw this out, but the mullet exists on both spectrums of the hair chart. That is, if you go see Iron Maiden, you'll see, I think there's a name for it, but it's like the glorious mullet that's like really well like taken care of and like fans out in the back in waves. And you can tell the guy like really works on keeping his mullet nice. And then there's just like the nasty mullet that just grew that way. Like honestly, my hair naturally mullets, which is like really embarrassing. So I can't let my hair get too long because it like mullets itself. And it's not good looking, you know. But I will say I'm a big fan of the Tegan and Sara mullet. I am not a fan of the crust punk mullet. So that's really all I can say about this topic.
We can say that disclaimer: we are not mullet experts. We are merely trying to understand the mullet.
Indeed, the mullet is something worthy of further research. Speaking of things worthy of further research, we are being recorded by the man who has had a mullet, who has had dreadlocks, who has had an afro, who has had a mohawk, who has had every kind of hairstyle you could imagine. This is being recorded by the one, the only, Sound Guy Nairman. Sound Guy Nairman, how are you doing?
Yo, bitch!
And of course, we've got a pretty jam-packed episode today. We're going to be talking about the Greg Ginn and Flag lawsuit some more because there's been some real interesting developments and there's a lot to talk about, a lot of misinformation floating around, so hopefully we can clear some of that up. We're going to be talking about the Bouncing Souls, Home for the Holidays. We all know that Chris Barrett is going to that. We're going to be talking about Blink 182. Is Blink 182 a kids band, an adult band? Who are they these days? We're going to be talking about Danzig. You always know that I've got Danzig's back, and also I'm going to bring in a quote from a celebrity that also has Danzig's back just to prove that I'm right. Everybody that is anti-Danzig is wrong. We're going to be talking about the Off With Their Heads Morning Glory and Direct Hit Tour. That's quite the intersection of different genres, but I think it should be a good tour. We're going to be talking about AFI's new album and their new songs. We're going to be talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame new inductees, and we're going to be talking about Fest once again because Fest is barreling down. We are but 2 weeks away from Fest this year, but before that, let us kick off with one of the reader-submitted bands. As always, you can reach us at podcast@punknews.org. This first track today is from Aaron from Albuquerque, New Mexico, nation's capital of blue meth. He's in a band called The Ill Motion. I've checked out their tracks. They're pretty cool. I detect a touch of Rancid, a touch of Painted Black, kind of in the harder side of punk rock without going into the power violence, which is pretty good genre, pretty good area to be in. This is off their Forever Stoked EP, and this is called... No, I'm sorry. It is off their, their Forever Stoked EP, and this is called Betty White Supremacy. Note the pun of Betty White and white supremacy.
Those boys are just fucking awful.
We have to make sure they remember. We are more than just a number. That is why try to make you see that I'm a human being. This is where we hold them, we hold them, we hold them. This is where we say we are, we are.
We are, we
this
are.
This is where we tell them, we tell them, we tell them. This is us and this is our war.
Our war!
Richer, stronger, united together. Richer, stronger, united together.
Richer, stronger, united together.
This is where we hold them, we hold them, we hold them. This is where we say we are, we are.
We are, we are.
back on the Punk News Podcast. So let's get this Punk News Podcast started. Woo! Okay. Yeah. First thing, we got to talk about this first. This is big news. This is important news. Is recently, as the Punk News listeners probably know, Greg Ginn, on behalf of himself, on behalf of his version of Black Flag, and on behalf of SST Records, filed a lawsuit against Flag, the band, which include and Henry Rollins. Flag includes Keith Morris, Chuck Dukowski, Des Cadena, Steven Egerton, and Bill Stevenson, and also Henry Rollins was named in the lawsuit. Greg Ginn sued them for not copyright infringement, as a lot of sources have been stating, but rather trademark infringement, that is, confusion in the marketplace. He also sought to invalidate trademarks of the Black Flag logo filed by Keith Morris and Henry Rollins in 2012, I believe it was. Interestingly enough, Black Flag never did originally file for the trademark. Just as a side note, you don't have to file for a trademark to enforce it, but if a trademark is filed in the USPTO, it makes enforcing it easier and you get certain benefits. Well, recently, Spin reported that Greg Ginn lost the lawsuit. That is incorrect. Greg Ginn did not lose the lawsuit. What Greg Ginn did is he filed a request for a preliminary injunction. A preliminary injunction is where you go to the judge and you say, "Judge, the lawsuit is going to take a long time. While this lawsuit is occurring, I am suffering damage. I want you, while this lawsuit is occurring, to stop a party from doing something." If you remember, way back in 1981, when Black Flag was having a dispute with Unicorn Records blocked Black Flag from putting out any records in 1982 or 1983, and I think maybe 1984 as well. No, just 1982 and 1983. That's why Black Flag put out that Everything Went Black album without their name on it, and they still went to jail because that's illegal to do. So the point is Greg Ginn asked the judge, he said to the judge, "Judge, stop Flag from touring right now because Black Flag, my band, is suffering damage." The court denied the request for injunction. Here's what they found in their order. It says, the court found that SST had no rights in the trademarks. It said Greg Ginn had no rights in the Black Flag trademarks. Even if he did have rights in those trademarks, he lost the rights for failure to police the marks. If you don't police your trademarks, you can lose your rights to it. Further, the judge found that Ginn quit Black Flag, that Henry Rollins never quit Black Flag, and I think most importantly, and in Flag's favor, is that the judge found that no one, or there's little chance for the consumer in the punk rock community to be confused by Black Flag 2013 and Flag. Further, he found that the trademark application made by Henry Rollins and Keith Morris was done in good faith. Now, people might say, oh, he won the lawsuit. That's not what that says. This is just the request for the injunction. This doesn't mean that the judge has decided these issues. Rather, these issues will not be decided until trial. Rather, the judge just found that, preliminarily speaking, there's no prima facie evidence that Ginn can prove his case. So Ginn still could be found the owner of the trademarks. There still could be shown evidence of consumer confusion. Just at this point, with the evidence presented to the judge has found, based on only what he's seen so far, he cannot say that there is consumer confusion or that Greg Ginn has the trademark. But when it comes to trial, he might decide that there is, or the jury might decide that there is. So I realize that's confusing, but that's law for you.
Yep.
Well, yeah. All right.
I mean, I found the interesting part that the third point we have up, even if he had rights to the trademarks, they abandoned the rights of failure to police the mark for nearly 30 years. I found that one relatively interesting. I guess because obviously if you're not proactive in terms of defending your trademark, that, you know, who's to say that obviously, you know, are you really being damaged? Could you not have been damaged before? And as for the injunction, I guess anyone who has wanted to see Flag or wants Flag the tour near them again, definitely got to be happy about that, because obviously this will give them an opportunity to come back around and play more shows, because they don't obviously have to stop in terms of playing. So, I mean, that's all around a good thing. I don't see how they could have really ruled an injunction just for them simply playing. Will that change if they decide to record any of the material or release any recorded material? What do you think about that, John?
No, I don't think it would. I think it. What happens is, the attorney said that, I mean, the ruling basically said was based on the idea that Ginn was told by a fan that he didn't know if Ginn was going to be in flag or not. What that means is Ginn really didn't present any evidence at all except for a declaration, but a self-serving declaration really has very little effect. So Ginn was not able to come up with any evidence that there's consumer confusion. I don't think the court really make a distinction between touring as flag and releasing an album as flag. The court did point out that in the flag flyers, they always say exactly who's in the band. Also, it goes to show that this is a big thing in the punk rock community. You know, punk rockers say, oh, we don't want to go to court. You know, we don't want to sue people. We don't want to be that way. But you have to protect your trademarks, because if you do not protect your trademark for 6 years, it can be considered abandoned. If it's considered abandoned, you can lose it. If people remember, a little while ago, a jewelry company stole the Crass logo. They just straight out stole it, and the jewelry company threatened to sue Crass for using the Crass logo. You have to protect your trademarks. I mean, you don't have to, like... You don't have to, like, destroy everyone that uses your trademark, but all you have to do is if somebody's using your trademark, you got to send them and say, you got to stop using the trademark, or you have to let me license it to you for a nominal fee. I own this trademark. You can't use it without my authorization.
I mean, what's really tricky about that is that, say, someone like Crass, I mean, do they have a manager or someone over legally representing them that would oversee something like that? You know, because if you have to, in order to be proactive, you obviously have to see, you know, around the U.S. as a whole, you know, who may be using elements of your trademark. And, you know, obviously they're maybe wrapped up in their own things. I wouldn't think a jewelry company out of all places would be like, hey, this logo looks great. Let me try and use this for my jewelry. Well, but I mean, it is what it is.
Brittany, you know, Chris brought up a really good point, is right now Flag only has one show left. I think it's November 3rd at FYF Fest. I saw Flag twice, honestly, both times equally as good. One of the top 10 shows I've ever seen. An amazing, an amazing, an amazing show. Keith Morris is on point. Chuck Dukowski's on point. Des Cadena, Stevenson, Bill Stevenson, Steven Egerton, they're all on point. Do you think Flag is going to continue? Do you think Flag is going to record an album? Or was this just kind of a one-time thing?
I thought Flag made it pretty clear that they didn't want to, like, make new music, that they just wanted to play, like, Black Flag songs. And I thought, like, the new music thing was more of, like, Black Flag Greg Ginn thing. Like, I thought, like, Flag made that really clear.
So, would you get a live album if they put out a live album?
Oh, yeah, totally, because I missed them at Riot Fest.
How did you miss? Were you there?
No, because my cousin was in town, and he's never in town, so I went and saw him instead. And it turned out, like, there was a huge storm at Riot Fest, and, like, Flag's set got cut really short. And then Riot Fest, like, was down for, like, 2 hours or so. And then Flag didn't even get to finish their set.
That's a bummer all around. I wish I was.
Yeah, so, like, I'm bummed I missed them, but I'm also bummed that I didn't at least get to catch a little bit of them and then get attacked by a storm.
Yeah, you know, Flag is amazing. I really do get bummed out when people say, oh, it's nostalgia or they're ruining the legacy. That's bullshit. In fact, they're protecting the legacy because they are just so amazing live. They're showing that these songs are phenomenal songs. And they're still capable of making great music. The idea that you shouldn't play old songs is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It really is. It's like, whoever wrote a song for it to not be played?
That's really weird, because, like, when you go to shows for, like, bands and, like, when they put out their new album, most people are going to complain that they're playing the new album and not playing the old songs.
Because people are whiners, that's why.
So, but
yeah, you can't please everybody.
They're like, don't play the old songs. I don't understand.
I hate people.
It's not a cover band either. I mean, it actually has members of, you know, four members of Black Flag. So it's not like it's some five dudes from a random city in Alaska who decided to start touring around.
Here's the sick thing. If, like, five guys that said, oh, we're going to play all Black Flag songs, people would be like, yeah, I love Black Flag. But if the guys that actually wrote the music play, people are like, oh, they're destroying the legacy. I hate that. I hate people. Anyway,
it's not new music. It's just the tour, you know?
I really hope they put out a live album. I mean, and if not, I hope there's a good bootleg of it. I mean, it was the Ohio show that Brian Yancey and Melissa Bruce and I went to. Scott Heisel was there, and some other people were there, too. It was amazing. The Philadelphia show was amazing. Flag is amazing. I mean, it's just amazing that these guys are – I mean, they're getting up there. They're not ancient, but they're like 50, you know. They're not spring chickens. And they just blow so many of these younger bands out of the water. An amazing band. And that's really all I can say. Another band that the punk news people like is the Bouncing Souls. As usual, they are doing their Home for the Holidays four shows in a row. They usually do, like, four special shows in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Brittany, I know you're pretty far from New Jersey, but, A, would you go see one of these Bouncing Souls shows? Do you like the Bouncing Souls? And did you notice on their website they spelt their own name wrong?
No, I didn't. But now I'm going to go to their website and check. But I'm actually not a Bouncing Souls fan.
Are you anti them or you're just meh?
I'm just meh. They're kind of like, they're kind of on the same level for me as like Hot Water Music. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
There's a couple songs I like, but I will not like just sit there and listen to them. Like I get really bored.
Punk News listeners are sad. Oh, come on, guys.
I don't think they probably are.
All right, I'll make them happy. Yes, I'm a fan of both bands that Brittany mentioned. I do like Cowboy Music. I do like Bouncing Souls. I believe this is year 7 of their Home for the Holidays. I could be wrong, so yell at the computer if I'm wrong. But I've been to just about everyone, at least one show, for just about everyone, save maybe one, probably the first one. Memory's a little fuzzy off the top of my head. But they're always fun. You know, Stone Pony, it's not my favorite venue, but for the most part, it's the one time I go down to Stone Pony. They do put on a good show. They always put on a good show. It's definitely interesting now that George Rebello is in the band. So that adds a little bit of a different element, different style than Mike McDermott. And looking at the lineups, I could say I'm excited to hear Youth Brigade. Man, they're still going at it. They definitely put on a good show with the Ratchets. And the Ratchets, in my opinion, very underrated. A band that some people on here may listen to, but really, you know, more people should get into. And I'm curious about the special guests. I've been debating with a few people, trying to speculate, trying to see the bands they put on with them.
Hot Water Music. It's going to be Hot Water Music.
I mean, maybe. Yeah, that'd be cool. I would love to see. I would love for them to throw like a curveball. I heard a rumor about a Veil. In general, not for just for this show, but in general, that'd be pretty cool. I haven't seen a Veil in like 6 years, maybe their last tour, and that was amazing. So I'd love for Tim Barry to drag him up. Maybe there's something I'm missing with that, but Hot Water Music would be great too. I mean, I never get tired of seeing them. So, and Voice Sets Fire, Flatliners, Restorations. Restorations are definitely one of the top albums of the year for me. Great band, great guys. Flatliners put out a great album too, and also great guys. So all around, there's something for everybody. That's what I like about the Home for the Holiday show. Something for everybody. So even if you don't go to all four nights, you go to one night, and you know you get some of what you like along with the Bouncing Souls. Can't go wrong. It's really, a great time.
It seems to me it's something for everybody so long as they have a beard. That's what I'm saying.
Not everybody has a beard. Not.
Mephistopheles is there.
I don't think Laura Stevenson has a beard. So
she has a great beard.
No, but I'm saying, people with beards are big fans of Laura Stevenson.
Okay, yes, okay. They are. Let's clarify. Yeah, we probably like that. Yeah, sure.
A lot of beards in attendance here. Chris, you have a beard yourself, don't you?
Yes. Could you feel it through the computer?
You can just tell when somebody's got a beard, the way they talk about things, you know, with a certain dignified austerity, you know.
Matter of factness, you know.
Right,
I'm grinding behind a computer right now. I have all this grishin that I have built up reading here, so.
Now, Chris, is your beard a statement, you know, in indie rock, but also in, like, beard punk? You know, the beard is a certain statement. I think a lot of these guys want to suggest that they're lumberjacks, but really, like, if you, like all they do is like eat vegan food and ride bicycles, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you can't be a lumberjack and eat vegan food and ride bicycles.
Some people. I don't know. I probably not. But who's to say? Hey, who knows? Maybe a lumberjack doesn't like meat. I don't know. You know? Am I a lumberjack? No, I don't lumberjack.
But you are a tough guy. I mean, Brittany, do you agree that the beard suggests a guy is tougher or more rugged, or do you disagree?
I mean, I feel like most of the people that grow their beards, they want to be Chuck Reagan because he's a very manly person. I think he is like a guy most of the beard growers in our community look up to.
How about Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah.
Well, Abraham Lincoln was the original punk rocker. Everybody knows that.
Actually,
you know?
Abraham Lincoln was pretty punk rock.
He might have been skinny, but he was a tough guy.
He's like, I want equal rights. That's punk rock. And he's like, I'll split the nation. Now that's anarchy. All these people talking about anarchy. Abraham Lincoln tore the nation in two and then put it back together. That's punk rock.
He did it all. 6'5", high-pitched voice, though. But, hey, the beard.
And he got shot.
The there. Yeah, I know. by an actor of all people, an actor. But hey, it happens. So.
Well, speaking of people without beards, Blink 182, and without a beard audience, because no one in the audience is old enough to grow a beard, Blink 182 is aiming for a faster, edgier, and more diverse sound on their next full length. Here's what Mark Hoppus of Blink 182 told Absolute Punk. For me personally, obviously, we still have to get into the studio and hash everything out, but I want to push it edgier. I want to push it a little faster, a little harder. I want to do rad experimental stuff. But I also want to be more edgy. We are also talking with 6 different producers. We want to have different people come in and out of the studio for different vibes. Are you guys Blink 182 fans? Are they going to do anything they haven't done in the past 20 years?
I really, really liked them when I was in 6th grade. Like, I wrote Brittany Hoppus everywhere in all my binders.
Oh, so that was last year?
Yes.
No. Yeah, I was also a fan of them in middle school, early on in high school. They kind of lost me. Everyone loves Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. I know there was that whole vinyl debacle, but I don't know. They lost me after that album. I don't know. I was a fan. And are they going to name this new album Shorter, Faster, Louder also? I mean, I don't know. It seems like, what are they going for?
I think it's something like older. I mean, not really older, but like, I don't know if you guys heard that Fall Out Boy EP. That one they just released, that hardcore one.
I did hear that. And it is called, because Brian Yancey just reviewed it. Brian Yancey did not
PAX
like this.
PAX AM, right?
PAX AM Days. Brian Yancey gave it 3 out of 7. That's rough.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Oof. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe they're just like, we're getting older. We have to somehow prove ourselves. I don't know.
I would say, you know, just keep doing, they should just keep going in the direction that they were going in. I mean, they obviously still have a large fan base. New teenagers, younger, you know, I mean, teenagers I could think of in high school now, because I used to work in a high school, they're still getting into them. So I would assume that you don't want to rehash the past so much, but you'd want to keep going in the route you were going, because I don't know, it's a popular sound now, and you want to keep, you know, you want to keep it fresh. And is going backwards keeping it fresh really for them? You know, they already like established themselves something else. I'm sorry?
Like going back to fart jokes and stuff? Like, I'd be kind of stoked if they went back to like their fart jokes.
I don't think they ever abandoned it. I mean,
I don't know. I haven't heard the new album, but is there fart jokes on it?
I would think Onstage Banner always will have fart jokes for them.
So it sounds to me like you guys are pretty big Blink 182 fans.
I mean, there was a time. There was a time and a place.
Everybody went through a phase.
I didn't.
Blink 182.
They're not everybody's gateway band, but you have to start somewhere. So, yes, that was one of the bands. Not the band that started for me. There were more important bands. We'll get to that later at the Hall of Fame. So,
what?
Oh, we're talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame later on. Brittany,
has to do with Blink 182?
No, that has to do with bands that mean something to me. I'm sorry.
You guys really scared me.
No, we're not at that point yet.
Last thing to do with Blink 182 and along those lines, I mean, is Blink 182 a veteran act? I still think of them as a young band, but they've been around for like 25 years. I mean, when you think about it, like they've been around since like 1993 or something like that, so they're 20 years old. I mean, who else is 20? I mean, they're as old as Wu-Tang. I don't think Wu-Tang is a new act. I kind of do think Wu-Tang is a new act.
They're a little younger than Green Day, right?
Well, Green Day's first album was like 87, I think.
Was it 89? I thought it was 89.
Yeah, I think it was around like 89, 90 probably. I mean, we have to reference Billy Joel at the iHeart Music Festival. He said, I've been doing this shit since 1988. So I got to take him for his word about it.
Love that guy.
Well, speaking of a guy who's been doing something since 1977, Glenn Danzig recently had a little bit of an altercation, but he was filmed yelling at a photographer in an audience in Ybor City, which is where Fest is going to be this year. That was last Wednesday. What happened was somebody was taking a photo of Danzig, and then he like shook his finger at the guy, and he said, punch that fucking asshole right there, to the guy taking his video. And then they basically took the video away. I'm going to go on record and say I back Danzig on this. I mean, the guy had signs all over, no camera work, you know, don't take any pictures, which is, I mean, because honestly, A, video A, video that people take from the audience is always crappy as hell, and it doesn't give you an idea of what the band actually sounds like. B, it's annoying when you're there and people are, like, taping shit all the time. So I back Danzig on this. I mean, it's respect for him to say, don't videotape stuff. So this guy is videotaping stuff. And so he said, cut it out. I mean, I'm always confused.
Did he need to be punched?
Yeah, he did. I'll tell you why. I mean, like, Danzig does not make nice music. Danzig is not Chuck Reagan. Danzig is not hot water music. Danzig is not going to be like, let's all be friends and drink whiskey and watch the sunset. Danzig is like, I'm going to blow you in half with my shotgun. I'm going to rip out your eyes. I'm going to nail the skulls of little girls to my wall. He's not a nice person. And so people are always like, say, oh my God, how could he say something mean or nasty? Because he's Glenn Danzig. He's the Prince of Darkness. He's Glenn Danzig. The guy's like, he didn't rip off his skull. I mean, I'll tell you. I mean, really, this was Danzig showing restraint. So I back Danzig 100%.
He really loves his cats, though.
He does love his cats.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the cat love, I mean, I get it. Obviously, if you're entering a show and it says no pictures, no videos, you should respect that, even as a spectator. And it is stupid on the person taking the video. He's so close to him. That he obviously could see you with his, I guess, iPhone. I don't know why. Samsung Galaxy, whatever. Taking photo or video. It's so obvious. So, I mean, that's like a flagrant fuck you to Danzig. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know if I would have said, you know, punch him in the face. You know, I would have waited for an in-between song. But, again, I am not Danzig. But I get what you're saying, John. I mean, if regardless, even though it's punk rock and whatever, you got to show a little bit of respect.
No, and you don't. It's punk rock, and it's not just
No. I'm talking about the fan. I'm not talking about Danzig.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm talking about the fan. I mean, it's flagrant when you're right there. At least, you know, if you're going to be a little more subtle about it, and didn't do a good job, got caught. But, I do hope the guy didn't get punched. I just hope he put his camera away.
I hope he got punched. Brittany,
I'm sorry.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Brittany, it sounds to me that you actually think Danzig came out too harsh, too mean.
Well, I mean, I understand that because, like, something similar happened when I saw Chuck Berry. And
Chuck Berry? Like Chuck Berry from, like,
19... Yeah, like Chuck Berry.
I saw that. Was that awesome?
I'm joking. No, because, like, it was when I was younger, and this radio station... called Cool 105, they would, like, always put on, like, a concert at a Fiddler's Green, and it was always, like, older acts from the 60s and stuff. And one year they got Chuck Berry to be, like, the headlining act, and it was really cool. And obviously he's old. And he put on a really good show. Like, he did his duck walk and everything, but, like, I didn't know how grumpy he was. Like, he actually, like, kicked someone out in his band, like, on stage. Like, he just told him to leave. Like, some guy that was in the band, he just told him to leave. And then there was, like, some photographer up front. And then, like, you couldn't hear anything. But all you see is, like, Chuck. And he's just, like, bent down on his knees, like, talking to this guy. And he's just, like, shaking his head no over and over, just pointing at him and then pointing away from the stage. Like, you need to leave. You need to stop taking pictures of me. And I'm like, man, Chuck does not mess around.
Chuck Berry, he is notoriously grumpy. There's a famous documentary called Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll. And basically...
The one with Keith Richards?
Yeah, exactly. Would you like to talk about that?
That one, I saw that one. Because, like, it's kind of funny because Keith, like, just, like, worshipped him. But then he's just being, like, this grumpy fellow. And Keith is, like, rolling his eyes at him, you know, trying to work with him.
It's so great. Like, Chuck Berry's just such an asshole in that movie. And all Keith Richards wants to do... It's like put on like a show saying how great Chuck Berry is, and Chuck Berry's like he's like, we'll do it my way, and they all practice, and then they go on stage, and Chuck Berry just does his own thing anyways, and the looks on Keith Richards' face are just priceless, so you know, and so
you don't mess with Chuck Berry. He pretty much invented rock and roll. You know, you let him do what he wants.
Well, I have a big question. I have a big question. It's kind of burning at me. Enlighten those who are not really familiar with Chuck Berry. This is very important. Is Chuck Berry a person that speaks in third person when he refers to himself? He's go, Chuck Berry doesn't like that. Chuck Berry wants a glass of water. So. No? Oh, that'd be amazing.
That'd be amazing.
If he said his whole name, like, but always in third person.
Chris,
he's pretty punk rock. Like, when he travels, all he brings is, like, a change of clothes and his guitar. That's all he brings.
And also, what he – this is great, too. This is a test from the 80s or 90s. Is he would ask for $4,000, but But promoters would always know when he gets there, he always demands an extra $2,000. So when they agree to do a show for $4,000, they know it's actually $6,000. And he gets there and he says, I won't go on stage until you give me an extra $2,000. And so they all have it ready for him because they know he's going to pull it. So,
Chris, what a way to do some business.
Chris, I don't mean to call you out, but Chris, do you know who Chuck Berry is?
I am aware of Chuck. I was saying enlighten the person who may not be so familiar.
Fair enough.
I do know who he is.
Fair enough. And I'm just going to end this segment with a quote. And this is from our We'll Do It Live with Jesse Michaels. And I'll read my first quote because I certainly prompted this for this exact discussion that I knew would come up sooner or later. And I said, Jesse, people talk a lot of hate these days, but I still think Danzig is the man. Can I get a witness? And here's what Jesse Michaels, lead singer of Operation Ivy, Kamen Rider, and Classics of Love said. He said, this is Jesse Michaels speaking, I feel kind of like when you make some of the best rock and roll in history of the entire genre called rock and roll, you get a no-limit free pass for life. Glenn will always be the man. So remember, Punk News audience, when you're dissing Danzig, you are going against Jesse Michaels' fandom of Danzig and my fandom as well. So moving onwards, let us play a song from a band that has nothing to do with Danzig at all. We're going to play a track from a band called Jabber. Jabber includes members of the Pillow Fights as well as Dead Ringer. I think John Flynn was a big fan of Dead Ringer. Chris, were you a big fan of Dead Ringer? I forget.
I've seen them, I think twice in Brooklyn. They were fun. They were cool. Great people.
And so, their band is still pretty new. I guess they've been around about a year, maybe a year and a half. I think they've got a couple of EPs out and stuff. And this is Jabber, not G.G. Allen and the Jabbers. This is just Jabber, a completely different band. And this is their song, Pop Punk Goodness. The song is called 200 Days.
There's 200 days until I can see your face and I'm
second half, one of the halves of the Punk News podcast. So let's keep this
three halves
of the Punk News podcast. Let's keep this party moving. I'm so excited. I'm not even keeping track of what part of the Punk News podcast we're on. But there's a cool tour coming up. The tour is Off With Their Heads, one of my favorite modern bands, Morning Glory and Direct Hit. It runs from early December through mid-December, so it's really like it's like a week long, I guess. I guess that's a tour. I'm going to see them in Philadelphia at the First Unitarian Church. Brittany and Chris, are you a fan of any of these three bands? And do you think this tour is pretty cool? I think it's cool because none of these bands are really that similar to each other, particularly Morning Glory.
I like all three. But I really, really, really like Off With Their Heads. Really like Direct Hit. And I listened to that Morning Glory EP. I listened to their EP, but it was really good. So I'm really, really upset that I can't see this tour.
I am a big fan of Off With Their Heads. I've only recently been introduced to Direct Hit, so I've heard it a few times. Sounds interesting. I definitely look forward to seeing them live. Morning Glory, I believe that has members of Leftover Crack or Choking Victim.
Right. Morning Glory is Ezra Keery of Leftover Crack and Choking Victim. And the band is raised, there was an old Morning Glory, which had Ezra Keery in it and other people. I don't think any of those guys are in it. I think it's New Gods with Ezra Keery, so.
I'll watch. I'm interested in what it sounds like, and I'll leave it at that. So.
It's really good. You should totally do you have Spotify? You can go find their stuff on Spotify.
I'll check it out. Absolutely.
It's really good. I like it.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Morning Glory. I thought the last album was fantastic. I'm a huge fan of all the crack rock steady bands. Huge fan of Choking Victim, Leftover Crack, No Commercial Value, In Decay, Star Effing Hipsters, Krieg Blast, Morning Glory. I think all those bands are super clever, super ingenious bands. I mean, I think Brad Logan, Stizza Crack, and Ezra Keery, I think they are literal songwriting geniuses. So they get my backing, and I'm super excited to see them. I only saw Morning Glory once before at what's called the Bike Church in Santa Cruz. The problem is the sound system blew out. It's kind of like a mini 924 Gilman or ABC No Rio. And the sound blew out on the first song, so I couldn't hear a damn thing. So I'm excited to see him again. Because Ezra seemed to be in good spirits, so I'm super excited. Moving on, this is a band that a lot of the kids are hip to these days. I got to stop making myself an old man. I keep saying, the kids are hip to these bands.
You can't stop that, Gentilly.
I got to be like, oh, man, here's one of the hottest new bands that everybody loves. AFI, who've been around for 20 years.
Oh, my God.
AFI is releasing a new album. It's called Burials. They've been trickling out a lot of different songs here and there. One song is called A Deep Slow Panic. A lot of people actually have been giving positive reaction to this album. Really, I heard the album. I think it's their most goth-sounding release to date. Very thick, very slick-produced record. Are you guys AFI fans? You check out this track. Oh, you're not an AFI fan, or you didn't check it out?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not... I kind of missed the AFI boat, even back in the day. I mean, I heard some of the older stuff, but from what I heard, the older stuff it was enjoyable. But they kind of lost me at a point, so I never really had a close following with them. I've heard things.
Well, I'm surprised. I would have thought you guys would both be huge. I don't have a solid understanding of the AFI fan base, to tell the truth. Because a lot of the people in punk news are a lot of punk news editors and writers are big fans of AFI. People who I would thought would be just before the AFI bandwagon, I guess. I think Brian Yancey's a big fan. I think Adam White's a fan. I think other people are fans too. But it seems like you guys, I would think you would both be fans, particularly Brittany, but I guess not. So I just don't understand this band at all.
Why me? What is your reasoning?
Because you're 21.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Just depending on the age.
Well, I mean,
then I should like them more. I'm 27, so I mean, you know, and
well,
I.
Well, you should.
That's what I'm saying.
Pop punk age, so you should be listening to more pop punk.
I mean, don't mistake. I mean, my indifference is not necessarily negative. It's just, I don't know. I've always been kind of. There's a few bands that are popular that I've been different to. AFI's one of them. So, I mean, I don't know.
I watched their set. Well, I didn't really watch it because my feet hurt, but I listened to their set at Riot Fest.
Did it seem more punky? Yeah. Did it have some energy, or was it kind of, I don't know.
No, he was running around everywhere, and he had a good voice, and I guess something happened with his voice. I don't know. My friend, one of our friends that we went with, she's just obsessed with AFI. And she was just telling me that I guess he had some issues with his throat back in the day. And so instead of screaming, he would do this little at the end of everything he said, a little squeal. And it was kind of funny. And then I started counting all his squeals.
Did you keep a tally?
I mean, I don't remember it. I tried to.
Uh, They need a tally function on all the smartphones. That way we could always keep track of things like Davy Jane squeals and everything. So
if I go to an AFI concert, who am I going to see there? What age, what type of person?
I think you're going to see all ages, actually. Like, you're going to see kids like in middle school who have just discovered AFI. And then you're going to see kids who are a lot older who did discover AFI when they were in middle school, when AFI came out.
Kids near 30 losing their hair?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's amazing about AFI, I don't think people realize how gigantic AFI is. AFI is
a gigantic band.
I think, like, roughly, when I'm trying to figure out how big a band is, I go by, like, the Facebook-like thing, and that's probably like a rough figure. AFI has 1.5 million likes, which is a like. By contrast, Green Day has, let's see, well, 31 million. Okay, well, that's a lot.
That's a lot, man.
Yeah.
I'm one of them. I love Green Day.
I would say some of my friends who are indifferent to new music now and aren't exactly kept up with things, there were the few people that tried to really get me into them. So I think that's a pretty good gauge, too, in terms of, like, those who continued really, listening passionately to whatever's out now, whatever's new, and those who just kind of have the few bands that they like and always fall back on. So I have a few friends that are like that, that just total AFI fans and aren't into really anything new. And I could name a bunch of them, in fact.
Here's something that I find happening a lot, actually, from a personal standpoint, is as you get interested in a band, you really lose perspective as to how big they really are. You know, like I'm not really a Hot Water Music fan, but in punk news, Hot Water Music is like the biggest thing ever. You know, but on Facebook, they only have 85,000 likes, whereas AFI has 1.5 million likes, which means AFI is 15 times as big as Hot Water Music. But it certainly doesn't seem that way in punk news, does it?
I mean, I would think the reader, the power of music, I would think both appeal to the readership, I would say. But I would also say that there are those who probably are on punk news who don't necessarily feel the need to like Hot Water Music on Facebook. I mean, I don't know. Is there something negative associated with liking every band that you like? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I like every band I like on Facebook. I click away. I'm a little clicker, I got to say.
I like most of the bands that I like, I do like as well. There are some that I'm like, oh, I didn't like this band, but I don't know. I mean, a lot of things clog up my newsfeed. I really should downsize on Facebook, you know.
Well, speaking of the reverse of downsizing, upsizing, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has named its 2014 contenders for indoctrination. These are the people that may be led into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next year in 2014. There's Nirvana, who's a shoo-in. Of course Nirvana's going to get in. The Replacements. There's also Kiss. I think Kiss is probably going to get in. Chic, which has Nils Rogers, who actually might get in because they were huge in the 70s, but also not Nils Rogers has been doing bass for both Daft Punk and who's that creepy guy that's with the hair?
That describes a lot of people.
He's real sleazy. He's got the song with Pharrell. Alan Thicke's son.
Robin Thicke. Oh, yeah.
God.
I hate that guy.
Yeah, that guy is sleazy. I mean, but the worst part about Robin Thicke is like, he's like sleazy, but like that's his angle. It's like, I'm a rich, sleazy white dude that does whatever I want. And if I do something illegal, I just throw money at it till it goes away. And that's my attraction. And people like love it. They're like, yeah, Robin Thicke.
Hung up on the Beetlejuice suit. I'm still hung up on that. I mean, what was that with the award show? It was a little ridiculous.
You could buy like the Halloween costumes of him and Miley like together.
Oh God! I have no words. I'm sorry.
Yeah, my boyfriend doesn't want to do it either. So
honestly, I didn't think that was that offensive to say. I mean, I didn't even care.
To
me, it's a nothing. I mean, sleazy in the fact that I mean, if Miley Cyrus was just like a model, like no one would care at all. But it's kind of sick in that like Miley Cyrus, people think of her as like this former little good girl gone bad, which is kind of perverse.
Yeah,
you know. But I mean, what they actually did, like, I mean, you can see worse things on PBS. You know what I mean? It's like.
She, whoever her management is, geniuses, absolute geniuses. That's the best thing she could have did was that little act at the award show because it gave her all the attention. That's what these people feed on, attention, publicity.
Well,
it's perfect.
Yeah, that's what she's stoked about. She's like, every time like something like bad happens with her name, she's actually pretty stoked about it. She's like, as long as my name is like still out there and people are still like looking me up and buying my music, then I'm fine with it. Like, you could say the worst thing about her and she'd be totally cool with it.
Absolutely. And some people are like, if I don't have any publicity and I'm not in somebody's mouth, then no one cares. And people care, whether it's a bad reaction or a good reaction. Genius.
You guys bring up a good point. And from the manager's perspective, he's acting like a smart businessman. The manager's making as much money as he can as quickly as he can. But from a humanitarian standpoint, he's actually being quite the bastard. Because, now, you know, Miley Cyrus could be an adult girl and she knows exactly what she's doing and she could be completely in control of the situation. But I would bet that she's not in control of the situation, you know?
She claims that she is, though. Like,
We'll know in 3 years. And the point is,
if
Miley Cyrus is like how Cher is now, or Cher was in the 80s, or Tina Turner, like, you know, a strong sexually woman who's not afraid of her sexuality, then good for her. But if she winds up.
Had a beef with Miley Cyrus, and then she like covered a Miley Cyrus song like after their beef. It was weird.
Cher rules. Weird. I mean, that's a gangster. You know what I mean?
Cher totally rules.
The only difference between Tina Turner and Cher at that time and Miley Cyrus is Tina Turner and Cher, I think, were in their 40s at the time, and it was kind of like the, you know, I'm like at the cougar stage of my life, and Miley has just finished puberty. So I think that's just more
she's a year younger than me.
I mean, yeah, so let's say a few years past puberty. For her. I have more faith in you, Brittany. But I mean,
Thank you.
From now on, every Pugnus podcast, we're going to track Brittany Strubber's progress. No, I'm sorry. That was extremely rude of me to say. I shouldn't have said that. I apologize.
I forgive you because I'm laughing.
that was real. I was going into Howard Stern territory for a minute and I realized that was not nice for me.
Stay away from there.
The point is that if Miley Cyrus winds up, you know, drug addicted or busted out or you know, chewing through the system in 3 years.
Like Amanda Bynes,
then that means her managers, I mean, really, her manager's job is to protect her. That's the manager's job. You know, and so if she does wind up chewed up, that means her managers are pretty despicable people. I mean, they know what they're doing. We've seen this cycle happen time and time and time again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, only time will tell.
If you're famous, people are just going to want to take advantage of you. Like, look what happened to Brian Wilson. That was the saddest thing ever.
Well, Brian Wilson was drugged. You know what I mean? It's like
he was drugged. And also, like, what was it? His therapist or something? But like he totally like controlled him for like a year, like more than a year. Like he controlled him for a really long time.
Well, listen, I mean, I'm not Mr. Straight Edge McGee or whatever, but I don't do drugs. But listen, kids, you don't do drugs, you don't have those problems.
Yeah, true. Drugs is really the X factor in a lot of the child stars or any, you know, a lot of people's lives. I mean, there are a lot of facets.
I mean, I'm not trying to defend drugs. I'm just trying to defend Brian Wilson. He had a really fucked up childhood.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. He did.
And, like, you can look at Dennis. Like, Dennis died like an alcoholic because, like, if he had the same fucked up childhood.
You know, somehow
I was just, like, the angel of them.
I almost saw Brian Wilson with Jeff Beck on Friday, but I had something else to do. I was really bummed to miss that because that would have been really cool.
That's awesome. I saw Brian Wilson on his Smile tour, and it was amazing.
I'll bet. He is amazing.
Like when he did his Barnyard song, I was making like the Barnyard noises. It was awesome.
So anyway, let's wrap this up with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Here are the contenders: Nirvana, Replacements, Kiss, Chic, Hall & Oates, NWA, Paul Butterfield Blues Band, Deep Purple, Peter Gabriel, LL Cool J, Ladies Love Cool James, Cat Stevens, aka Yusuf Islam, Link Ray, Yes, and The Zombies. Zombies are actually having sort of a resurgence right now, which is interesting. Who do you guys think will get in? Pick four picks who's going to get in.
Wait, do you have... Okay. I'll go last.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll go first. Nirvana, yeah, sure. Nirvana, Kiss, Hall & Oates, NWA.
I would say Nirvana, Kiss, Hall & Oates, and there was one more. You think Linda Ronstadt has a chance?
I don't. Is she on the ballot?
I saw it on Rolling Stone today, and yeah. I mean,
she
let's
totally
say
she has a chance if she's on the ballot.
We could also say NWA. John, I'll generally agree with your list. And I just want to add, generally stoked that Nirvana is finally, not finally.
Nirvana's finally getting their dues after years of being ignored.
I mean, underrated all the time. No, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, as a personal perspective of it before, I was alluding to bands that mattered more to me than Blink-182. Nirvana was definitely one of them. Definitely one of my biggest gateway bands into...
You know who should be getting them instead of Nirvana? The Melvins, the guys that taught Nirvana how to be Nirvana.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you know, but you know how the Academy works and everything. It's a pat on the back for big album sales and who moved what and whatever. So, no, I totally get what you're saying, man. It definitely influences to these bands that are getting in should matter. And unfortunately, they don't always get their due, you know. So that's the unfortunate
thing. Sex Pistols had a huge issue with the Hall of Fame, didn't they?
They got in, but then they refused to attend the ceremony, which was quite sex pistolist, which I thought was cool on all parties. I thought all parties did an awesome job with that.
They were up in the punks for sure.
And it's real unfortunate that Kiss is going to make it in. I mean, I get it. If you want to talk about a band that, you know, just basically wanted to move units and nothing else, Kiss is your band.
I genuinely think Hall & Oates is a great group. I love Hall & Oates.
I'm shocked Hall & Oates like aren't already in there.
Yeah, I guess they should be because there's only 25 years. Yeah, you're right.
That threw me for a loop too. Also, is Rush in the Hall of Fame yet?
They just got in. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little overdue.
I think they did. Let me see. Actually, I'm not even sure about that. Yeah, they did. That's right. And the speech was weird because I think it was Alex Lifeson just said blah blah blah, blah, or was it Neil Peart? It was Neil Peart. Neil Peart just went like blah. He literally went blah 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 for his speech, which a lot of people weren't sure if that was like insulting or like funny. You know,
it was kind of like.
Literally said blah blah blah.
He got up there and went like blah 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 like I'm literally he went blah 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 blah. For like 8 minutes, or like 5 minutes.
I hope he flipped the podium. I mean, that would have been the best move of all at the end.
Normally when you get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you just get like one person to talk for you, right? To induct you?
No,
The Clash had two, and that's like the only actual one I watched.
No, the whole band gets to go up. Who's ever included in the band?
I mean, like, whoever's inducting you, because you know, like Justin Timberlake, he inducted Madonna, and he said that thing. He's like, oh, I dated some couple of Madonna wannabes, like taking a stab at Britney.
Uh-oh.
You guys remember that? That was really funny.
I don't watch those ceremonies, to be honest with you. Remember, it's the Academy patting itself on its back.
The Edge from U2, and they had what's his name? Is his name Chris Morello? Is that his name? From,
U2 is The Edge.
Yeah, U2's The Edge, but they also had, like, I think his name is, like, John Morello or something from,
Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. Morello,
that's his name. I knew his last name.
You didn't know the guys from Rage Against the Machine?
They both induct the Clash, though. Like, do you always get two people to induct you?
Oh, I see. I think it's just up to them, you know? I mean, you know, of course The Edge does, because you two get to do everything, you know?
Yeah.
Literally everything.
I remember one time Henry Rollins, he said something like, he said the Clash are the band you two wish they could have been.
Right. If,
like, they stuck to punk rock. I was like, you rule, Henry Rollins.
So, Brittany, now you got to take your stand. Who's getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Take your stand.
Do I have to say who I think is going to get in or who I want to get in?
Who you think, and then you can say who you want. Linda Ronstadt is on the committee, you're right, and so is
I really feel like Linda Ronstadt could get in, though, because like, she has had a really great career, and she has a great voice, and she's released many great songs and covered many great songs.
I interviewed her once years ago, about 5 years ago.
You did not.
I did too.
Oh, man.
In San Jose, they have a big Mexican celebration every year. And the punk PR police are going to say, John, that's racist for you to say. But in San Jose, they have a celebration of the Mexican people in San Jose. And Linda Ronstadt
is... I don't think that's racist.
Because anytime you use like a certain... national or racial term, people say you're being racist, but they have a Mexican celebration. I mean, that's what it is. It's the celebration of Mexico and Mexicans. And Linda Ronstadt like curated it 1 year, so I interviewed her about that because mm-hmm. she's half Mexican or full Mexican. I forget which.
She's Linda Ronstadt. That's the best answer I can give.
And she used to be going back to one of her earliest stories, she was in the Stone Ponies.
Oh, wow.
Why now?
So, Brittany.
How about that?
Like, she can't sing anymore because there's, like, something happened. Like, she has some kind of I forgot what it was. She has some kind of condition, and she can't sing anymore. I forgot what it was, and it really bummed me out because she's a great singer. Okay, so who I think is going to get into the Hall of Fame is Hall & Oates, Kiss, Nirvana. I'm going to put Linda in there because I really think Linda could get in. And how many nominees do you get? Five?
I don't know. I think five get in every year. Six? Let's see.
Because I can't decide between Cat Stevens and Yes because I can see both of them going.
Oh, Cat Stevens is going to go in before Yes.
Okay, so Cat Stevens, fine. That's who I think is going to go in. But who I really want to go in is...
Paul Butterfield Blues Band?
I honestly, I need Hall & Oates to go in. Like, I can't believe they're not already in there. And LJ would be cool to see an NWA and Linda Ronstadt and the Replacements. Like, unfortunately, I feel like the Replacements aren't going to get in, and that bums me out because they're awesome.
Let's see how big the Replacements are on Facebook, just to get an idea. Because in the punk news world, they're gigantic. And also, I mean, I like Replacements. I'm not. They see on Facebook, they only have 180,000 fans, which means AFI is like seven times as big as the Replacements.
Well, kids, like, I mean, I'm one of those kids, and a lot of kids my age, they don't know who the Replacements are.
They're not a band that's, I don't even know their songs.
But I'm going to just mention this quickly. When the Replacements got back together, everyone's like, oh, this is awesome. Replacements are back together playing songs. But when Flag got back together, they're like, they're destroying the legacy. How come Flag's destroying the legacy and the Replacements are, oh, this is the greatest thing ever?
I don't know, man. None of us said that. Don't accuse us.
Yeah, I mean, don't bump me in there, man. I'm totally team Flag.
fair enough. Very last story of the evening is Fest is coming up real quick. It starts in Ybor City on October 29 and 30, and then it moves all the way over to Gainesville on October 31st through November 3rd. At Punk News, we did the 10 first old-timers to watch at the Fest 12, meaning 10 bands that are established bands that have not played the Fest before. Are you guys going to the Fest? And if so, or even if not, what is one of these old-timers that you would like to see at the Fest?
Brittany, are you going to Fest?
No, I'm not. You should go first.
Yeah, unfortunately, due to my educational obligations, I will not be attending Fest. Just looking at the list right now, people should see all, you know, of course. Knapsack, I guess if you like emo, go see Knapsack. Boy Sets Fire, seems like a fun time. Although, I went to see it, I saw them at This Is Hardcore, and their emo songs, everyone just stood with their arms folded. Hardcore songs, people are bouncing off the wall, so I think they'll have a more consistent reception at Fest. So, but some of these old, this list, I don't think you could go wrong with seeing any of these bands at Fest. So, but I would love to see all again because I saw them when they did the Riot Fest post show, and I'd watch Knapsack, but that's me.
I'm saying see The Last. The Last is a band that not a whole lot of people know about, so, I mean, they weren't ever really that big. But they're kind of halfway between power pop and, like, early to late 70s L.A. punk rock. So they're a really, really cool band. The songs are tight. They totally rock. And what's cool is they're backed this year by Carl Alvarez and Bill Stevenson of The Descendants and all. And they got a new album coming out. I've heard it. The new album is really, really, really good. So I say go see The Last. It's a great piece of punk rock history by a band that's still really good. I mean, like, for real, like, bands like I Am Avalanche, Big D, like, J. Robbins, Cross My Heart. You can see those bands pretty much any time. I don't think The Last you can see that often, so.
Yeah. Are Big D really that old?
They've been around for some time.
They have been, but I didn't think they were that old.
Let's see. According to Wikipedia, Big D and the Kids Table formed in 1964 during the British invasion. They started out as a British R&B style group playing covers of Gloria and You Really Got Me. And then
they played Woodstock in 1969. Right. Okay.
they formed in 95, which means they're 18 years old. That's pretty old.
Oh, yeah. I guess so. I mean, I used to be obsessed with Big D, but I didn't think they were that old.
I'm also surprised they haven't played Fest before. That threw me for a loop a little bit.
I think it's like, I'd probably like, if Big D, like if I was going to Fest, which I'm not, and Big D didn't clash with any like one that I really needed to see, like D4 or anything, then I'd go see them. And I would also really like to see like Jay Robbins, because he's Jay Robbins. Yeah. And All. I would like to see All, but I'm not going to Fest, so.
People going to Fest, enjoy. I wish I was there with you, but sometimes you can't.
I wish I could go to Fest.
Sometimes we get old, and yeah, it happens. So, well, John, are you going to Fest?
I got a job, son. What are you talking about? Am I going to Fest? I'm a grown ass man. I can't be going down drinking PBR.
We have three people with adult obligations.
I have three a job with adult too, obligations. Maybe I'd have to go to Fest. So.
I hope people that do go to Fest have a good time. There's a lot of interesting acts this year. Ceremony is going to be there, which is going to be kick-ass. Speaking of kick-ass bands, we're going to close out tonight's podcast with a song by the band called Plan B Rejects. This was sent in to me by Andrew. I checked this band out. They're kind of like hardcore. They're hardcore, but not like too hardcore. It's like I guess it's shout singing, but not like pure throat shredding screaming. It's a little bit of, I guess, West Coast hardcore with some of the energy of, like, East Coast, like, punk rock, a little bit of Rancid in there. Basically, you know, just a straight-up hardcore band. They're pretty cool. This is a track by them called Word. Check it out.
Came at a time you were down and out. Your young runner was screaming, shout. Went to the show, run your way. Never will forget those days. Came at a time you were down and out. Your young runner was screaming, shout. Went to the show, run your way.
Podcast. As always, the opinions made on the Punk News Podcast are the opinions of those making them exclusively and do not in any way represent the opinions of the people speaking. They do represent the opinion. Well, who knows if they represent the opinions of the people speaking them or not? We don't know. We're not making a claim anyway with regards to that.
Represent nobody.
They do not represent the opinions of punknews.org. Brittany Strummer, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you.
Chris Barrett, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you. Glad to contribute.
And Sound Guy Nairman, thanks for being here with us. Sound Guy Nairman, he's the man. He puts this whole show together. He's the people's champion. If you need a favor, call up Sound Guy Nairman. If you need a body to disappear, call up Sound Guy Nairman. He'll take care of you. If you want to reach us, you can reach us at podcast@punknews.org. And otherwise, we'll see you next week.